It's good to see you all again. We are in week two of our series entitled Christ's Ambassadors. And it has been said that the church is always only one generation away from extinction. And at first glance, it's an extremely pessimistic statement. And to some degree, yeah, of course that sounds true. If we stopped proclaiming the goodness of God, if we stopped proclaiming Christ, then nobody would ever hear and the church would die. But we know that that is not what God has intended. That's why Jesus, when he was with his disciples on the night that he was betrayed in the upper room, in the book of John, we have this long discourse recorded. It's why he promises to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus, through his Spirit, will keep us from falling away. And his Spirit will lead us in truth according to God's word. And that is incredibly reassuring. So while, yes, people say that the church is only ever one generation away from extinction, we also know that that's not possible because of what God is doing. God's sustaining work that occurs through his Spirit is a demonstration of his love. As we saw last week, that and what Barry read this morning, is that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that is an incredible, incredible truth that is a cause for security and urgency. And as Paul writes this letter to the Romans, and today and the next weeks we'll be looking at Romans chapter 10, he is describing God's desire for the world, what God wants to see happen. He's proclaiming God's heart, if you will. God's heart for the lost is far greater than ours will ever be. Consider loved ones in your life. Consider loved ones you know that do not know Christ. And consider your own concern for them. God's concern for them is far, far greater, infinitely greater. God cares for the lost more than we ever will. Look at what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You can turn there with me. It should be on the screen here as well, but you can look at that. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Likewise, too, we know that famous verse in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But we know that, as Paul has already laid out in Romans chapter 1, that even though God loves the entire world and desires that no one would perish and desires that all would repent and come to faith in him, we know that humanity is without excuse, that all have turned away, all have rejected him. They have willfully rejected God. Both Jew and Gentile alike are guilty of sin and rejection of God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But as we saw last week, God has provided a way. And not only that, but he has called and created us, his chosen royal priesthood, his holy nation, a people of his own possession. He has called and created us to proclaim the way, to proclaim Christ, to share in God's heart for the lost. This is all loaded in what Paul is going to be getting into in Romans chapter 10. I invite you to turn to Romans 10 with me. Romans 10 verses 1 through 4 is where we're going to be looking today. And we're actually going to be bouncing back and forth between Romans 10, 1 through 4 and Philippians as well, chapter 3. So get ready. So So as I alluded to last week, Romans 9 through 11, obviously Paul has written a whole bunch of words leading up to chapter 9. And when he gets into chapter 9, he begins to explain God's heart for the lost and his own heart for the lost. But not just the lost, but his own people, Israel. And as we look at chapter 10 specifically, we're going to see that God's plan for Israel and God's plan for the lost includes the redeemed, includes us. And we are the ones that God would use to proclaim his good news. That's what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. So here we see God's heart. We see Paul's heart as well. Romans 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Consider again those that you know who don't know Christ. It ought to be our heart's desire and concern and prayer that those people that we know that do not know Christ would come to be saved and experience the power of the gospel. I would challenge you to continually pray for those people in your lives. But Paul's heart for the lost is, it grows out of God's heart. It's not just a new thing. It's something that God has done in him. And to be an ambassador for Christ is to understand God's heart. It's the reason Paul's heart for the lost is the way it is because of who he was. Paul was once lost. Experiencing the love of God is the foundation for sharing the love of God which we have received in Christ. And so Paul's going to get into his past now. In chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. As we discussed last week, there are those who do not know Christ, who do not know the way. And here Paul is speaking to that again. He's speaking to those that think they know, but they don't know. But they have a zeal. They think they're following God zealously. And Paul had at one time thought that he was zealously following God, when in reality he was lost and blind. He thought he had it all figured out. Only now that he has been given eyes to see, can he look back and bear witness to the same state that his own people are in because of where his own heart was at one time. And this is the state of all of us at one time. Look at what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Paul, speaking of who he was before coming to know Christ, says this: though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Paul, at one time, thought he had it all figured out. He was pursuing God, or so he thought, to an extent that he wanted to rid Israel of those that were seeking what he thought to be false, which was following Christ. He did not know Jesus. Paul was the model Israelite, or so he thought. But he did not know Christ. He too had at one time been without knowledge. He continues in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Once Paul knew Christ, all that he had been living for changed. All his zealousness was flipped on its head. All too often, we think we know what's best. We think we can make our own way. This is essentially what Paul had previously spent his life doing, establishing a righteousness of his own rather than submitting to God's righteousness. This is what he says in Romans 10:3, that his own people, they're being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Church, to be an ambassador for Christ is to recognize where our righteousness lies. We, in and of ourselves, are not righteous. Romans 3:10 says that there is no one righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, again, for all have sinned and fallen short of God. We are all on the same playing field. Humanity is lost and without hope apart from the goodness of God and the saving work of Jesus Christ. In Christ, we experience righteousness. In Christ, we experience righteousness that comes from God by faith in Jesus. So rather than toiling and striving and hoping that we might be found righteous, which we won't, we trust in Christ. Our righteousness is founded in Jesus and his righteousness alone. Look at what Paul says in Romans 10:4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the great statement of freedom that we have in Christ, that what Christ accomplishes gives us freedom. Now, all the things that we tried to do to be seen as right before God, Christ has fulfilled and done them perfectly in a way that we never would. And he is our righteousness. And that's the good news of the gospel. Christ fulfills the law's demands. Christ's righteousness is our own when we believe in him. Look what Paul says, continuing in Philippians chapter 3. Verses 10 and 11. Verses 9 through 11. So after he comes to know Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of his own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection of the dead. The whole Christian life gets flipped on his head. Rather than toiling and striving so that we might be seen as right before God, Jesus does it for us and frees us to live for him, so that we may experience his power at work in us, the power to bring the dead to life. When we believe, when we experience faith in Christ, we experience his power to raise the dead to life. Romans 1, 16 and 17, which I will be referencing probably every week, because it is kind of the thesis statement of the whole book of Romans. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Gentile. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes or has faith. These words, belief, faith, trust, are all synonymous in the New Testament. And to believe is to experience God's changing power in our own hearts and in our own lives. And to be an ambassador for Christ is to rely on God's power to change lives, not our own. The message that we carry, the message that we proclaim, is that of the power of God for salvation. It's the message of our own changed lives. We are not better than anyone else. We are all on the same playing field. Just as everyone was under sin, unrighteous, so too does God offer salvation to all who have faith in him, who trust in his Son. This is to demonstrate his own righteousness, his own power, his own justice. Our unrighteousness serves to show his righteousness. I want us now to turn to Romans 3. And if we had time, we would look at all of Romans 3. But Romans 3, 21 through 26 is one of the richest passages of all of Scripture. And right before Romans 3, 21 through 26, Paul asks this question in verse 5. If our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? He goes on to ask these rhetorical questions, saying, well, okay, if God's righteousness is shown by our own unrighteousness, doesn't that make God unrighteous? And the answer is, of course, no. But what we see is that God is doing something, even in the midst of our own sin and wickedness. That God, at the right time, Romans 5, we won't look at that, but at the right time, he sent his Son. But look at what he says in Romans 3, 21 through 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested or made known apart from the law. Jesus has been made known to us. Jesus is the one who fulfills the law. Although the law and prophets bear witness to it, to Jesus, that the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Christ. So what then? Our righteousness is secured in our faith in Christ and his work, not our own. And this is where our security lies. This is where our urgency pours out of. The fact that we have experienced the power of God to save us. And so to be an ambassador for Christ is to be one who has experienced the heart of God to change our own hearts. And that transforms our heart for the lost. Christ's ambassadors share God's heart for the lost. As we, who were once lost, dead, unrighteous, have experienced the saving power of Christ's work and received his righteousness as our own. Only when we know this can we begin to live as Christ's ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. That's what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. Would you pray with me? God, we praise you for your plan of redemption, your sovereign grace that you have poured out into our hearts through your Spirit, that you have given us your Son so that we might have life and have it abundantly, God. We ask that you would help us develop your heart for those that don't know you so that we might be used by you to make your Son known. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.